Are we recording?
Now we're recording.
Okay. So we're actually going to have two meetings this afternoon because we need to have our annual one to reappoint the officers. So I will call our first meeting of the Board of Trustees to order. It is now 4:04 p.m. On May 20th, 2021. There are two sets of minutes to review and approve tonight. There are the minutes from last month's meeting, and then there was a special meeting on the 28th, which I believe was the trustees meeting. Yep. So.
I have a question on the trustees meeting. On the last line before going to give a bank statement of 2021, December 31st, 2021.
Oh, we're not there yet.
Oh.
December 31st, 2020.
I'll correct that. I'm not sure if it should have been. I'll double check to make sure if it's April.
April 21st.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
March 31st.
Oh,
could
have been.
Yeah, honestly, it might have been March 31st because that would have been the quarterly.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's it, but I'll double check those figures.
Okay. Great.
We can do it as a corrected. Thank you.
Sorry. Any other additions or corrections? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve both sets of minutes? The April 21 minutes as written and the April 28 minutes as corrected?
Approval.
Okay. What I thought I heard was Chris making a motion and Rhonda seconding. So is there any further discussion? Okay. Hearing none, let's take a roll call vote.
Okay, Jana Emmons.
Aye.
Dick Fraley. Oh.
Aye.
Okay.
We got her.
Laura Kessel is
aye.
Is Laura on?
No, this is Kim.
Okay, that's what I thought. Chris Layton.
Aye.
Kathy Ludlam.
Aye.
Trig Mead.
Aye.
Rhonda Vogel.
Aye.
And Keely Fulmer.
Okay. We will move on in that case to public comments. There is no one present on the program room of the library. Kim, do you see anybody on the Zoom call?
No, I do not, and I had received emails prior.
Yep. In that case, we'll assume that there is no public comment this month and move on to communications.
Okay. I had a couple of things. First of all, I had an email to the board outlining at this point in time what we were planning to do related to COVID-19. Staff prefer to stay comfortable with everyone being masked, so we still have the sign on the door requiring a mask. We felt it would be difficult to try and enforce in any way. Some libraries are just posting, you know, if you're not fully vaccinated, you must wear a mask, and letting it go. Our staff felt a little uncomfortable with that, wanted to be the same, and also we're concerned for the children with the advent of summer reading that we wanted to just maintain masks. So for the safety of all, we were continuing with that. I think we'll see what the new normal phase five is, which might be as soon as June 11th. And I had mentioned a few things, maybe by July 1, we might open a little more seating and a few things and just see how it goes. But it's ever changing every minute. I've seen a lot of libraries go one way or the other, but from what I understand of the executive order, individual institutions can set their own policy. So I don't know if the board has any comments or concerns or changes, but that was how we have been operating as of this announcement. Does anybody have any comments or concerns? If people are comfortable with that, we'll just keep going.
Great.
Okay. Hearing none, I had one other thing to bring up as well. I received a letter of resignation from Brenda Hatzel. I will read it. Dear Kim Bunner and Board of Trustees, please accept this letter as my notification of intent to retire effective August 31st, 2021. I have enjoyed my time with Parlin Ingersoll Public Library, and I am grateful for all the professional opportunities and support provided to me throughout my 36 plus years of employment. While I will miss my coworkers and patrons, I am very much looking forward to the next chapter in my life. I am happy to help with the transition and will do whatever I can to make that as seamless as possible. Please do not hesitate to let me know how I can be of service. Sad to accept that, but understanding. She had good news that she will be a grandparent and wanted to move closer to her family.
Okay.
So I plan to advertise that position by the end of the week and just see what I can get. At this point in time, my son is getting married, so I am going to be advertising, but probably will not be interviewing until the week of like June 20th. So there might be a bit of a lull there, but we will see what we can get. Brenda's been a marvelous employee. I've appreciated her seniority and abilities for many years, so it'll be a tough shoes to fill, but I wanted to share that.
Kim, do you feel like there's anybody within that is a possible candidate?
At this point, I will offer internal, offer to the staff. We're going to be talking about it on Friday. If anybody internally is interested, they can also apply. But at this point in time, I did not anticipate that anybody might be, but we'll see. Brenda had originally thought she would retire in April. So this was a little sooner than we all thought, but all for a happy reason. So I had just wanted to mention about the city of Canton EAV. As far as I know, that has not yet been released. I think they're looking more towards the end of May. So I don't have any updates on that, but I did want to include that. And that was all I had under communications, unless anybody else had any other comments or.
Okay, well, that's great news for Brenda and very sad news for the rest of us. So we will move on to the agenda for this meeting. The first item is the consent agenda for April 2021, which was included in everybody's packet. If everybody has had a chance to review that, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I was just going to make one comment on that. I did also include a separate sheet that you don't normally see that compares April of this fiscal year to April of last fiscal year. And the reason I did that for comparison purposes, our normal spreadsheet included a 12-month year-to-date. And because we didn't really have a 12-month year-to-date, I wanted to pull those figures separately on how we ended April of each year. So that is also included in your packet.
Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt. Laura just texted me and said that she's been waiting for 6 or 7 minutes. If you could let her in.
Okay, I see her now.
Here. Okay, perfect.
With the reboot, I'm
okay.
Participants.
But. Sorry, Laura.
I'll make sure she's getting on.
Connecting to audio there.
Yeah. Laura.
I'm here.
Perfect. Sorry about that. I did not see that we were having audio issues again. So welcome.
Thank you.
And thank you, Jana, for mentioning. So Laura, we were just on the first item of the agenda for the meeting. There's actually going to be two this month because we've got to reappoint our officers too. So we are on just approving the consent agenda for April of 2021.
Thank you.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
We got a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that. This is Kim.
Thank you. Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, let's take a roll call vote.
Okay, Keely Vollmer.
Aye.
Rhonda Vogel.
Aye.
Trig Mead.
Aye.
Kathy Ledham.
Aye.
Chris Layton.
Aye.
Laura Kessel.
Aye.
Kim Fraley.
Aye.
And Jana Emens.
Aye.
Okay, so the consent agenda for April 21 will be passed unanimously. And we will move on to the Town and Country insurance renewal, which I think we voted to approve, but I think we've got some more information now that like the final figures have come
out. Yeah, we voted to approve if it came in basically under budget, and it did not. It was a little bit over budget, but not by much. It was over budget by $371. So the final estimate is $19,251. Part of the increase from the previous year was on what they call their pillar insurance, which is D&O and crime. Because of the intake and tax monies, I wanted to up that bond. The Illinois State Library requires it be 90% of, or 50% of your operating funds. So because of the increase in income with tax, we did raise that and that cost did go up a little bit. And Bill said he's seen very, very high increases in regular property tax. He said people will even see it in their homes. He said he was able to reduce that a little bit because of the changes that we had made on recommendation by the loss control expert, but that did go up a little bit. This is a three-year contract on the D&O that we usually pay up front at once for savings, but he did not think that the increase on property casualty would be that tremendous for the next 2 years in this contract, just because they estimate the bigger increase for a three-year term. And that's also why it's a little bit more, because it's looking at a three-year. But at any rate, because the motion last month and it's a little bit higher, I was just bringing that back to the board for approval.
Okay. Well, in that case, should we, does anybody have any questions or concerns about voting to go ahead and approve the figure with the slight increase of $371? Okay, well, hearing none in that case, is there a motion to approve the revised figure?
I'll make a motion. This is Laura.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, let's take a roll call vote.
Jana Emmons.
Aye.
Kim Fraley.
Aye.
Laura Kessel.
Aye.
Chris Layton.
Aye.
Kathy Ludlam.
Aye.
Trig Mead.
Aye.
Rhonda Vogel.
Aye.
Kaylee Vollmer.
Aye. Thank you. We will move on in that case to the annual report.
Okay, this is a compilation of statistics that we do every year. It is required by law as well. It uses unaudited figures at this point in time, but it does have to be completed with so many days after the fiscal year end. So I've included that in your packet. It is also posted, once approved, posted on the website, and a copy along with the upcoming IPLAR is sent to the mayor. So I didn't know if anybody had any questions. I've kind of tried to reduce a lot of the data. I put a few charts in, and basically it just kind of reflects what we've had in this unusual year of dealing with the pandemic and everything else. But I'd be happy to answer any questions about it.
This is the first time I've seen such a report, I believe. It's very thorough. Do they set the parameters, the requirements of all that's in here, or do you have some freedom with that regard as well?
By law, there are certain things that do need to be included in an annual report. So those are included. And some of those are also included in the IPLAR, which is the Illinois Public Library annual report that's next on the agenda that's submitted electronically to the state library. But basically, yeah, I've actually reduced some of the data over the years just because of what had been seen. And it's really difficult to compare too many years beyond three, especially given the changes with a fiscal year and it being shortened and then being closed during COVID. So some of the previous year's figures, I'm not listing 10 years worth of data, but I thought it was interesting to also include the charts about income and expenses, especially related to the need for the tax monies to see the trends and the direction things were going.
Okay, well, is there a motion to approve it? Rhonda's got a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Kathy? Can't tell. I was going to say.
Go with Kathy. That was close.
Great. Any further discussion? Okay. Hearing none, let's take a roll call vote.
Okay, Keely Vollmer.
Aye.
Rhonda Vogel.
Aye.
Trig Need.
Aye.
Kathy Ledham.
Aye.
Chris Layton.
Aye.
Laura Kessel.
Aye.
Kim Fraley.
Aye.
Jana Emmons.
Aye.
Okay, so that'll be approved unanimously. We move on to the IPLR, the Illinois yes. Public Library Annual Report.
Right, and these I pretty much work in tandem. With the figures. This is also required by the state library in order to receive per capita grants and other funding through them. This is something too that I would need upon approval, Trig and Keely, to step back to my office to electronically sign. But this is also something that we use the data that is input on these when we do salary comparisons and income and operating comparisons with other libraries. So the data is helpful. And it is required by law within 60 days after the close of our fiscal year.
What all is this used for by the powers that require this?
It is required by the Illinois State Library, and it's required to be a member of the Rails Library System to complete this. It's also required in order to receive per capita grant funding that you have completed this information.
Do you ever get follow-up questions from, I'm sure there's an analyst on the other side that looks at this information?
Yes, when this is actually entered electronically, they do check digits, and if anything doesn't match or there's a big discrepancy, we have to make a notation. For instance, I had to make a notation that in the past when we had an 11-month fiscal year, I've had to make a notation that we don't currently receive tax monies, but we are anticipating receiving $288,009 or whatever in tax monies. I have to give all board members' names, addresses, etc., including a vacancy. And yeah, so they do check it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good question. Anything else before we move to approve? Hearing none, is there a motion?
I'll make that motion. This is Kim.
Right, thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second, Jana.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, let's take a roll call vote.
Jana Emmons.
Aye.
Kim Fraley.
Aye.
Laura Kessel.
Aye.
Chris Layton?
Aye.
Kathy Ludlam?
Aye.
Trig Need?
Aye.
Rhonda Vogel?
Aye.
Keely Vollmer?
Aye. Okay, let's move on to the disaster response policy.
Yeah, this is something that we did initially in like 2013. I did a very thorough policy, including pictures, so that the idea that anybody could walk in and, you know, turn off the gas if they needed to and know where our equipment was. Over the years, I've updated contact people and board members, but I felt we needed to add some updates related to our sump pumps and some of the other equipment that we've added. So I did put all that in your policy. Unfortunately, I was trying to save paper, but I misdated an approval on it. So it would be approved today with the date on it. But this is something that currently Brenda, Ben, and I are the contact people for the city of Canton if there would be an emergency here. Every board member has a copy of that document. We also have copies at home off-site, and a copy is provided to the Public Safety Director, Dick Fairburn. So it is available. It is not, obviously, for security reasons, posted on site, but it's available.
You have a Knox box out by that door, don't you?
Yes, we do. We have an Knox box that was put in several years ago.
Yep. So you don't have to break in.
Right.
Any other questions before we, or any changes? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the revised disaster response policies presented?
So moved.
Thank you. Kathy. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Rhonda seconds, thank you. Any further discussion? Okay. Hearing none, let's take a roll call vote.
Okay, Keely Vollmer.
Aye.
Rhonda Vogel.
Aye.
Trig Mead.
Aye.
Kathy Ludlam.
Aye.
Chris Layton.
Aye.
Laura Kessel.
Aye.
Kim Fraley.
Aye.
Jana Enans.
Aye.
Okay, moving on to approval of our returning trustees.
I submitted those names to Mayor McDowell and I attended the meeting. He did approve those appointments, which were Kim Fraley, Keeley Vollmer, and Chris Layton for a renewal of their 3-year terms. As a board, we usually also approve after the fact on that, but I did want to let everybody know, as a new trustee with your term, you should complete the Open Meetings Act, again, to refresh your memory on that. And when you do that, log in and then print a certificate for me. However, somebody hacked the site, so right now it's not accessible. So while that needs to be done within 90 days, they are delaying that a little bit. So we can just keep watch when you have access to that.
Something a little ironic about hacking the Open Meetings Act site.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations and condolences to the trustees that are returning. Should we take I think we need to vote to approve.
Yeah.
I'll make the motion, since I technically the three of them should probably abstain from their own approval. I will make the motion to accept their appointments to the board again with my congratulations. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Okay. Hearing none, let's take a roll call vote.
Okay. Let's see. Jana Emmons.
Aye.
Kim Fraley.
Aye.
She can, yeah. She.
I think so.
Yeah. Laura Kessel.
I wasn't sure. Am I supposed to not vote or can, I don't know.
I don't know.
Sorry.
Yourself. I mean, I'm sure it's fine.
Okay. Laura Kessel.
Aye.
Chris Layton.
Aye.
Kathy Ludlam.
Aye.
Jake Mead.
Aye.
Rhonda Vogel.
Aye.
And Keeley Vollmer. Okay. I just wanted to bring up the next item. At that meeting when they were approving the trustee appointments, there was also on the agenda, although I didn't get knowledge ahead of time of this, but the city established a library levy fund. And apparently Attorney Jump was to set this up at Mid-America Bank. I asked Treasurer Crystal Wilkinson about transfers of money, how those would be received. I noted that I wanted to receive a tax computation report. She said she was familiar with that and she would let me know as that comes. I have since heard from her and I have a ACH vendor form from the city of Canton that Crystal would like me to sign so that when they get those tax monies that they can automatically deposit them in our account. So I have a form, it only needs one signature. And as one of the check signers on the account, he said I could go ahead and sign that. I'm assuming we're going to put the money in one lump deposit. And from there within, we will put the monies in the different accounts per fund, such as IMRF, corporate, audit, tax, et cetera. I don't know if I need an action item on that for me to sign this form to be a vendor, but I just wanted to let people know that's what I have been told and that they are anticipating tax monies might be delayed. Crystal said she usually gets payments like monthly, July, August, September. She said they don't usually send in October and then they usually have a final one in November. So she will let me know when that
comes. I don't think they've even got the bills out yet. So
yeah. Yeah, I've not heard I've heard they will be delayed. So we'll see, but I just wanted to bring that up so that everybody's aware of the procedure since it's new for all of us this year.
That kind of tracks with how I think we thought they were going to do it. Mm-hmm. So I am cautiously optimistic that that's going to keep going along just like it should be.
Good.
Okay. I don't think we need to vote on that though.
Okay. Good enough. I'll just go ahead and sign the form.
To the recommendation filler vacancy. Got some bad news about this one about an hour and a half ago. I hadn't heard back from Scott had agreed to do it pending talking to his boss at work. He's with the state now, so he thought there might be a conflict there. I had not heard anything. I called earlier today just to check and make sure that there wasn't going to be a problem. And when we spoke, apparently there is a conflict with his work. He's not able to accept the trustee slot as a result of that. So unfortunately, we're not going to be able to see him. I think we are a little bit back to the drawing board in terms of figuring out who our next person to ask would be, which we technically can't talk about because we didn't put it on the agenda. So this will have to return to that next month. So I'm sorry to say that we did not make as much progress on that front as we thought we did. So I guess we'll move on to number 9.
Okay. This is the Mid-America National Bank time capsule request. When I was at the bank for the last trust meeting, I got the tour of the new building. It's beautiful. But Rick Kleindienst asked me, he showed me that they have a time capsule that they have made there that they want to be open 100 years from now on the anniversary of the bank. He said it has bank documents as well as Canton historical documents. And he said, well, there are no plans for any, you know, selling of the bank or buyout, looking 100 years down the future. He asked me, would it be possible that if anything should happen at the bank, that they could state that that time capsule would come to the library? I did include a picture of it in your board packet. It's actually UG Orndorff's deposit box that the items are in. We currently have the City of Canton time capsule box that is to be opened in 2025. This one is a little bit larger, but I did not see that it would be a problem for us to keep that. But I told him I would check with the board and see if anybody had an issue. I mean, we can't store everybody's club meetings, histories, et cetera. But I think this seems like a fairly important one for the city history and a logical spot that they feel the library will be here in 100 years. So
that's delightful.
Does anybody have any questions on that? Or I think we probably need a motion that we're willing to accept that.
Yeah.
I'll make that motion.
Okay.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'd like to second that. This is Kim.
Okay.
That's all right. Okay. Any further discussion? Okay. Hearing none. Let's take a roll call vote.
Kaylee Vollmer.
Aye.
Rhonda Vogel.
Aye.
Trig Mead.
Aye.
Kathy Ludlam.
Aye.
Chris Layton.
Aye.
Laura Kessel.
Aye.
Kim Fraley.
Aye.
And Jana Emmons.
Aye.
Okay, we need to adjourn this meeting and start our annual meeting in just a second here. So nobody go anywhere, but is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll make that motion.
I think I heard Rhonda second that. Thank you. Let's take a roll call vote.
Okay, Jana Emmons.
Aye.
Jim Fraley.
Aye.
Laura Kessel.
Aye.
Kathy Ludlam.
Aye.
Trig Mead.
Aye.
Rhonda Vogel.
Aye.
Kaylee Vollmer.
Aye. Sorry. Okay, so we have now concluded the first meeting, which means that I can now call the second meeting to order at 4:31 p.m. This will be the annual meeting of the Board of Trustees of the Harlan Ingersoll Library. We are meeting both by Zoom and in the program room of the library in Canton. We have two items on the agenda, but first we have public comments. No one has come in the room since the regular meeting half an hour ago. Is there anybody else in the waiting room?
Nothing in Zoom.
We will move past public comment in that case and take up the agenda. And the first item is the approval of the officers among the trustees. Do any of you want to be president?
If we ever get back to normal, will you still allow Zooming?
It depends on the rulings about the Open Meetings Act.
No.
Um, The way it stands right now, the governor has to declare that we are under a disaster, and that allows you to have a Zoom meeting as we're doing right now. Otherwise, the current Open Meetings Act, if you would want to allow electronic attendance, you have to have a policy for it. You have to have at least 6 board members physically present when you have a meeting. And the reasons that you can Zoom can't just be because you're on vacation or you can't make it. It has to be a family emergency or a business issue. I think there are some legislators that are trying to modify this with bills that are currently in the hopper, but I don't think anything else has come through. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, no, I think that's right.
Okay.
So I think for all practical purposes, I think the answer is no.
We would probably be back to meeting in person if we're not under a pandemic, which very well could be lifted soon.
Next month.
According to the governor. So we'll keep you posted. But otherwise, yes, then we have to meet in person. The reasons for allowing it in, under normal circumstances are not the reasons that people usually want to not have to be here.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, you know,
if there were a family emergency, I probably would attend the meeting.
But I mean, just because you're on vacation or you're a snowbird, those things don't count. So currently.
We'll see though. Okay. I think that there wasn't any interest in changing the current slate of officers. I think I still have 3 years before I'm term limited. The current slate of officers is me as president, Kathy as the vice president, thank you, Keely as the secretary, and Jana as the treasurer. Is there a motion to reappoint those officers for the coming year?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Okay.
Excellent.
I'm gonna go with Chris and Laura on that one.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any further discussion? We'll take a roll call vote.
Okay, Jana Emmons.
Aye.
Kim Fraley.
Aye.
Laura Kessel.
Aye.
Chris Layton.
Aye.
Kathy Ludlam.
Aye.
Drake Mead.
Aye.
Rhonda Vogel.
Aye.
And Keely Vollmer.
Aye. Okay, great. And we just have to do the FOIA policy,
yes.
Which just has to be updated with new figures every year, which it has been.
Yes.
So is there any discussion of the FOIA policy before we make a motion to approve that? Hearing none, is there a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Oh, I think Jana got the second on that one.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yep, Rhonda.
Okay.
It was close. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, let's take a roll call vote.
Keely Vollmer.
Aye.
Rhonda Vogel.
Aye.
Trig Mead.
Aye.
Kathy Ludlam.
Aye.
Chris Layton.
Aye.
Laura Kessel.
Aye.
Kim Fraley.
Aye.
Jana Emmons.
Aye.
Okay, well, and that concludes the annual meeting. So we should probably make a motion to adjourn that one too.
I'll make the motion.
Once again, the second from Jana. Sorry.
Okay. Being first is too much pressure.
Okay. Keely Vollmer.
Aye.
Rhonda Vogel.
Aye.
Trig Mead.
Aye.
Kathy Ludlam.
Aye.
Chris Layton.
Aye.
Laura Kessel.
Aye.
Kim Fraley.
Aye.
I'm muting. And Jana Emmons.
Aye.
Great. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
I need you two to electronically sign.
Do you want to turn in the recording?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
I thought Chris might be kind of curious what happened with that.